Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah. And yourself, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our esteemed listeners on Radio Islam.
Maulana, in our last discussion, as we said, that normally we have a very long recap, but inshallah, from today, the recap, we won't go into much detail of it because it is available on series at here at Radio Islam. So inshallah, we'll just do a very brief recap and we'll continue because of time constraints also.
Inshallah.
Maulana, we're doing the commentary of Surah Kahf in the first half an hour. This is the first segment of the program. Just a quick recap of that. We were explaining about Ya'maluna as-salihah, that Amal as-salihah. Number one, it's to undo all the forms of materialism. And number two is to express deeds, fixing and rectifying personal life and our emotional state. And thereafter, we did the word ajr. From Ajran Hasana, that is to give payment by doing good deeds. This good deed is for our own benefit and Allah will pay us for it also. Maulana, we continue from there.
Yes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maulana, we continue with the same ayat that we were discussing last week. And I would like to talk a little bit more on this ayah and explore more thoughts on this ayah.
Sure.
Firstly, you have correctly said that whatever good deed we do and the salihat which we do, it is for our own benefit. And above that, we are being rewarded for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also spoke about the highest level of spirituality in Islam is described as ihsan. And Allah says about ihsan in Surah Isra that if you reached ihsan, you've only reached ihsan for yourselves. We are the primary beneficiary of our ihsan. We are the primary beneficiary of reaching this high level of goodness. So by doing good deeds, we do not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only benefit ourselves. And this is an important perspective for someone to have and internalize. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do good deeds, to do righteous deeds, that righteous deeds, although Allah talks about it as islah, salah, good, righteous, the benefit of that is for ourselves. And because we are being paid for the righteous deeds that we do, it would be an interesting idea to do a small comparison of good deeds with trade. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah talks about if you do good deeds, you are going to be rewarded for it. So there is this type of a trade that's taking place. So it might be an idea to just do a small comparison between good deeds with trade. In Surah Saf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Shall I point you to a trade that will save you? So when you hear about trade, when we hear about business, when we hear about transaction, trade deals, business deals, it is usually for your own self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah and in the idea of هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ is appealing to something that is ingrained in the human self, and that is human greed. That we have this desire of having something in return for doing something. On another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah talks about an open-ended loan with no deadline. Now who is giving who a loan in this ayah where Allah says, who is it that is going to give Allah a loan? We are not giving Allah anything, but we are actually helping ourselves. However, human nature, in our disposition, there is an element of greed. Human nature is so greedy and immature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to lend our good deeds or our loan to Allah for a while, and Allah is good for paying you back multiple folds. So these are some examples from the Quran Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has likened good deeds with trade. In other words, when we do something for Allah, for ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually going to reward us for that. These are all expressions that are supposed to put us to shame. If we are spiritually maturing at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that we're doing a good deed, and the good deed is for ourselves, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us for something that is of our own benefit. The greatest gift of guidance, and in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what good deeds are. And these good deeds that we spoke of in the past regarding doing good deeds and not showing any insignificance for good deeds, all these good deeds only help my akhirah. And that's the thought that we should have. They also fix my dunya, but they help me in my akhirah because of the use of the word as-salihat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me this reward, then I act like I am doing him a favor. But now that I'm helping myself with the gift that he gave me, the gift of iman, the opportunity to do good deeds, and only he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could have given me the reward for it, then he pays me with ajran hasana. What a beautiful reward. So this was a small recap of what we had discussed last week, that our good deeds are for our own benefit. And in the times of difficulties, we need to always keep in mind that let's do good deeds. Do not regard any good deed as insignificant. And the benefit of the good deed is we are going to benefit by it ourselves. It fixes our dunya. And at the same time, we will get absolute beautiful reward for it in the akhirah. الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ So the reason for the revelation of the Qur'an Kareem is Allah gives glad tidings for the believers who do good deeds. Now, Allah then said, أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا And that أجر حسنة is the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. So that's the good deed, and the reward for that is ajr al-hasana. Let's continue from here, Malana, and we go on to the third ayah of Surah Kahf. We did say this in the past, that it would be an idea that when we're doing this tafsir of Surah Kahf, that our listeners keep some of the Quran before us if we are able to, and follow the ayahs of the Quran Kareem as we discuss, so we will have a direct understanding and a connection with the ayah and with the commentary. The third ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now continues, and Allah says, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا After talking about the good deeds and the reward and the beautiful reward that we are going to get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا In which they will dwell forever. This refers to the eternity of paradise. For eternity, you will be in anticipation of better things to come. The excitement will never cease. The word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used here is مَاكِثِينَ Generally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about reward in Jannah, and many of our listeners might be aware of this, that occasionally and frequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word khalidina fihi abada, wherein they will stay forever. But on this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word makithin. And the reason or the subtle meaning and lesson in the word makithin is that it refers to the eternity of Jannah. However, eternity in such a way that you will always be in anticipation of better things to come. In other words, when you are staying in a good place and you are in a place forever and you become so used to the place that the pleasures of that good is taken for granted. However, the word makithina is actually telling us that your stay in Jannah will be such that continuously you will be in anticipation of better things to come, and this excitement will never cease, and continuously you will be rewarded in Jannah with better things than the previous. So in Jannah, it's not going to be stagnant, it's not going to be static, but continuously you will be in anticipation for better things to come, and subhanallah, you will be rewarded for better things continuously. And this is the thematic concept in Surah Kahf, makithina fihi abada, in which they will dwell forever. This is an ayah by itself, even though it is short, and it is part of the previous ayah, previous sentence grammatically, the gist of it is, in which they will remain forever. A rough translation, in which they will remain forever. However, making an ayah by itself uses the principle of us having to reflect deeply into each of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayats. And Allah separated it and singled it out. As I've said, generally Allah would have used khalidina fiha. Usually when Allah talks about eternity and someone living there for eternity, usually Allah says khalidina fiha. This is an intentional departure in this ayah from the usual khalidina fiha to makithina fiha abada. Allah is highlighting a particular sentiment that will play its role against the fight in materialism. Again, the thematic concept and theme in the surah is to fight the whole disease and virus of materialism by using a departure from the normal sense of khalidina fiha to makithina fiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting a particular sentiment that will play its role against our fight in materialism. The eternity of Jannah and the attitude that the only thing is permanent is the Akhirah, and that everything in this world is temporary. Nothing here will last forever. If we come back to the surah, Surah Kahf, throughout the four stories of the surah, the story of the sleepers in the cave, the story of the man of two gardens, which we will go into details inshallah very soon, the story of Musa and Khidr alayhimus salatu wassalam, and the story of Dhulqarnain. Throughout the four stories of this surah, there is one way or another that Allah will remind us of the temporary nature of this world. Let's take each story again. The people of the cave, whose adventure is long, but it was still temporary. It was a temporary refuge that they took, and the everlasting benefit for them was something else. The next story of the gardener, and his garden was extremely temporary and did not last. The story of Musa and Khidr, and in each of those there is a long-term plan and a temporary problem. In the story of Musa and Khidr alayhimus salatu wassalam, in it there were three incidents that took place, and we will get to that inshallah when we get to it. But just as an introduction, it's the story of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam causing damage to the boat. It's the story and the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam keeping the wall upright in the town under which there was a treasure. And the story of Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam killing the young innocent boy. In each of these there is a long-term plan. However, the problem at that moment was a temporary problem, but Allah desired a long-term plan, and that's the subtle meaning in that story. The first case, there's the ship which temporarily gets damaged, but there is a long-term plan, and that was to prevent the boat and the people from a temporary problem. But the idea is that even that won't last. Then the next case of a boy getting killed, and that is also temporarily because the parents are going to be in a problem, but even that child will not be permanent. Then the third case is of a wall that is going to fall apart and won't last that long. The wall itself is temporary and has been made straight, which is going to help these kids, but the wealth is not going to last forever. So we're learning in this all the time about this world being a temporary abode, cycle of things falling apart and being put together. We also have the story of Dhulqarnain, who helps people solve their problems wherever he goes. And the last problem he solves is the problem of Gog and Magog, Ajuj and Majuj. And even his fix to that was temporary. So we're learning here that the whole theme of the surah, Surah Kahf, is to let us understand that our life in this world is a temporary one. And a temporary one which is going to be adorned with materialism, and in the next ayah we will be talking about that, where Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلَّ مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this entire surah gives us the lesson, and that is one of the primary and foundational lessons that we are learning in the surah. This world, the problems of this world, the trials of this world, the challenges of this world are temporary. Allah says in the Quran, هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقَّى. This is an ayah of Surah Kahf, ayah number 98, where Allah says that this is a mercy from my Lord. Then when the promise of my Lord will come, He will make it leveled to the ground. The promise of my Lord is true, that all what is on this earth will become level. Everything we have in this world is temporary. If it is all temporary, then why work hard and build anything? It goes back to the idea of planting a seed. If you recall, we spoke about this in one of our previous discussions, that even if you are in the deepest of trials, and how difficult your situation may seem to you, do not show disregard and do not regard insignificant any deed. And it brings back the idea of planting a seed, the hadith that we made mention of. Do not diminish the idea of planting a seed. But when you are planting a seed, you are expecting to see a tree. Even if you don't see the results, you should continue doing good deeds. And that is the goodness that will be permanent. And it will lead you into what? Makithina fihi abada. So do not diminish the idea of small deeds. When you are planting a seed, you may be expecting to see a tree grow. But you also know that if you don't see it, somebody else will benefit from your good deeds. But you shouldn't think any less of any good deeds. Even though it is temporary, and the effort you make is temporary, its goodness will be permanent, and it will lead you into what? Makithina fihi abada. It will lead you into Jannah, inshallah. That's why we should do better and better work, and improve and improve. You are improving because you are going to produce something in the akhirah that is way better. When you run after the akhirah, then the resources of this dunya come after you, and they want you to use them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا مَاكِتِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. That the purpose of the revelation of the Quran that Allah makes mention in the surah is that it congratulates the believers who do good deeds. يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. They will be given a beautiful reward. And that beautiful reward is what? مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. It may not be seen in this world, but it will be where you will continuously be anticipating it in the Akhirah. So congratulating the believers as they will chill in Jannah. This Quran came to congratulate the believers as they are remaining in Jannah, congratulating them here and in the Akhirah. There is not a part of Jannah that is not ajr. You remember we spoke about the reward, ajran hasana. There is not a part of Jannah that is not going to be a reward. We can't have complete immersion of the reward in this dunya. Reward in this dunya is going to be minute in comparison to the great reward in Akhirah. In this world, it is one thing or another thing that is rewarding. But being drowned in it will only happen in Jannah. The full encompassing nature of the reward is captured in this ayah, مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. We are immersed in it and we are drowned in the reward in Jannah. So makiti in the word implies you are going to anticipate and wait for something more all the time in Jannah and you will never get bored. Deep insight into the psychology of happiness and the psychology of ajr. The psychology of happiness is that once you receive a reward, you become happy and then you take it for granted and you become static about that happiness. But the word makitina fihi abada talks about continuous growth and continuous anticipation of reward in Jannah, and that will never be static. Most of the joy of reward is right before you get it. The wait before good things happens is joy. When you take the weight away and you go straight to the reward itself, the joy is extremely temporary. And once you have it, you get bored with it after a surprisingly short amount of time. So anticipation in dunya will disappoint you. But anticipation in Jannah will never stop. Nothing will disappoint. And everything will be highly anticipated. That means even your spouse in Jannah is also going to be highly anticipated. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that even in Surah Rahman. She shyly lowers her eyes because she's afraid to make eye contact. Allah makes that permanent. Every day in Jannah will be like the first day of your marriage in this dunya. Every joy is maintained and sustained in Jannah. Things are always getting better and better and better. The context, al-maqam intizar wa laysa maqam al-khulud. The context here is the context of waiting and anticipating, not the context of permanence yet. It's about the anticipation that Allah talks about here. And this is the perfect contrast to materialism. The materialist can only anticipate here in this dunya. A materialist person only looks for reward and anticipates for reward and waits for reward in this dunya, and he forgets about akhirah. But Allah is telling us, "Anna lahum ajran hasana." The good reward is where makithina fihi abada, where you are going to be anticipating that. There is more and more to expect. By definition, anticipation is not permanent. You anticipate something and you know shortly whether your hopes are met or destroyed. But by saying makithina fihi abada, Allah is taking something that we can only experience in a temporary way here and making it permanent in the akhirah. This was the example of the first day in your married life. In this life will be every day in your life in Jannah. The anticipation in Jannah is going to be constant, and constantly we are going to be receiving benefit. And there are so many incidents in the ahadith that talks about continuous benefit in Jannah and how we will continuously benefit in Jannah. Just very briefly, Maana, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah's Rasul talks about gathering in a plain in Jannah. And everybody will be seated, and the details of that, it's so beautiful to describe. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then Allah will present himself. The veil between us and Allah will be removed. And when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in itself, there will be a breeze that will blow. And that breeze will blow on our faces and on our bodies. And that breeze will result in additional beauty on ourselves. And then when we return to our families and our spouses, they will ask, what has happened to you that you have become so much more beautiful than what you were before you left us? And we people will respond, inshallah, we will be among all those that will respond by saying, how cannot we become more beautiful after we've just returned from the gathering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this type of beauty will continue upon us. And that's the meaning ingrained in this ayah. Ma kithina fihi abada. The beautiful reward in anticipation of more and more, which you will continuously enjoy in Jannah. Now this brings us to the conclusion of ayah number 4 of Surah Kahf. Inshallah, next week we will continue with ayah number 5. وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا.
Inshallah, let us take a break, and after the break we'll continue with our discussion on the understanding of social media, Mulana.
Inshallah.
Myself, Muhammad Bam, I have online is Maulana Nazir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, last week when we were discussing the understanding of social media, or would say technology, modern technology, Maulana. And towards the end, we read about the two hadiths that Maulana brought forward, that طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. And this is also how this ties in with social media, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana. Bismillahir Rahman. Shall I continue from there, Maulana?
Sure.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We did discuss intention, and we said intention is at the core of any action. It is famously said that intentions should be checked before a deed, while performing a deed, and after the deed is done. And when we use social media, for whatever reason, why are we following someone, why are we putting certain posts, why are we updating our statuses, intention plays a very important role in this. And we should continuously check our intention. Why am I posting this? Am I posting this with a sincere intention, or am I doing this to show a point to someone? And one can continue expanding on this as much as one wants to. Sometimes people want to be entertained. Some see social media as a productivity tool or even a business need. Sometimes others see it as a way to be politically or socially active. Some use it to simply stay in touch with family and friends. Many use it as a combination of these things. One of the most fascinating things about social media is that it sometimes uncovers your true intentions. It gives us an outlet to carefully craft a certain persona of ourselves. We share things that cause us to be perceived a certain way. We carefully write out our biographies, highlight certain quotes, find the perfect profile picture to make a statement about who we think we truly are. Sometimes we don't even realize the true intention behind what we are trying to convey. So the problems with social media often arises when our intentions go wavy, or when we try to mask our intentions. A person might post something intending to be trendy, sometimes not showing a respectful personality, and then try to mask it or a serious attitude with a smiley face and emoji at the end. Mixing intentions can be another issue, such as the age-old problem of mixing business with personal. It is famously said that the intention of a deed must be checked before, during, after, and we spoke about some of these things. The same applies to social media. The challenge is slowing down enough to check your intention in the fast pace of the culture of internet and social media. What are ways that intention plays a role in our social media usage? What's your intention in using it? What important lessons about intentions do people need to know? These are some of the things that we need to keep in mind. Having said that, I want to bring about another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in furthering our discussion here. And this is a hadith that may not necessarily apply to social media, but important, as I've said previously, that whenever we enter into an environment, it is important that we look at the environment, enter the environment in the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this respect, I would like to draw our attention and the listeners' attention to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm going to be using as a foundation for our continuous discussion on this topic of social media. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ بِالْتُرَقَاتِ قالوا يا رسول الله ما لنا بد من مجالسنا نتحدث فيها قال فأما إذا أبيتم فأعطوا الطريق حقه قالوا وما حقه قال غض البصر وكف الأذى ورد السلام والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. أبو سعيد خدري رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, avoid sitting by the roadside. Now, before even going into the translation of this hadith, I want us to just reflect. And each one, do a personal survey within yourself. Do you talk more on the phone now, or do you text more? Very briefly, just ask yourself this question. Do you talk more, or do you text more? Do you gather more in social gatherings, or have you become a person that you text more in keeping in touch with people? And the laws that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the guidance that Rasulullah has given in this hadith, in my humble opinion, Marana, applies exactly in the same manner that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said with regards to the road, applies to the use of social media. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Sa'id Khudri says, Rasulullah said, avoid sitting by the roadside. The roadside in those days was a place where people used to keep in touch with others. Today, it is the social media which we use to keep in touch. So the people said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot do without these meeting places of the road in which we converse. The words used in the hadith is, la budda lana. ما لنا بد من مجالسنا نتحدث فيها يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We cannot do without these meeting places in which we converse. So in today's time, if you tell someone that put that phone away, and they would say, but this is how I keep in touch with people, this is my means of communication with people. So in the same way, the Sahaba said to Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, we cannot do without these meeting places in which we converse, in which we socially keep in touch. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to them, subhanallah, well, if you insist on that, then give the road its due rights. In our case, we will say that if you need to use this medium to keep in touch and communicate with others, then give this medium its due rights. Now, the Sahaba then asked, what are the road's due rights? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, lowering your gaze, abstaining from anything offensive, returning salutations, enjoining the right, and forbidding from evil. Let's just go again, repeat that. What are the road's rights, and what would be the rights of the use of the social medium platform? Lowering your gaze. Watch what you watch. Be careful what you post. Do not use this medium to cause more immorality in society. And that was the first right that Rasulullah said with regards to the road. Lowering your gaze. Abstaining from anything offensive, the second. If you need to use the social medium and to use it for communicating, use it not to be offensive to people. The post, the statuses, you check your intention. Am I being offensive in posting what I'm posting? Returning salutations. Now, when we talk of returning salutations, the third thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the underlining meaning and message of salutations? It is to promote peace. So use the social medium to promote peace, not to promote enmity, ghiba, and we'll come to that inshallah as we go along. Then Rasulullah said, enjoin right and forbid evil. If you need to use it for positive things. Now Rasulullah sallallahu, let's go to this hadith again. Do not sit around in the streets and just talk. The Sahaba said, la budda lana, we need some place and time for social interaction. And Rasulullah said, if you really need to congregate, Rasulullah then gave some guidelines. Do not sit in the way, do not block the path, lower your gaze. Lowering your gaze, abstaining from anything offensive, returning salutations, enjoining the right, forbidding the evil. These were some of the guidelines he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave. He gave some etiquette. The same guidelines and the same etiquette would apply to the present day of communication on the social media. It's a remarkable opportunity. This hadith is a remarkable opportunity to show the transcendent nature of Islam, of what we believe in, the guidance and the strength and the versatility of our religion, that it addresses anything and everything. The trick is, and the beauty is, and the requirement is to understand that medium, the social medium, in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah and the ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, which we will talk later inshallah. But what we are learning here is the relevance of our deen. It proves, dare I say, it proves to a Muslim that Islam can teach you how to live any aspect or any part of your life. The fiqh of social media, the media project, this is what we need to know ourselves. It's what we need to teach our children. We spoke about talabul ilmu faridatun ala kulli muslim. We need to teach our children how to use this. We need to learn it ourselves. And this means that how we teach our children to tie the shoelaces. We need to teach them and ourselves how to navigate social media and the proper etiquette of its usage. Today, the virtual world has become an extension to our lives. If we don't take a hands-on approach, we may not recognize our own kids. Due to the super abundant use of this medium, it has become an integral part of our life, and therefore it becomes an integral part of our Sharia that we learn the laws pertaining to the use of this platform. Something very important about our Sharia is to connect the current times of the Quran and the Sunnah. When we study our pious predecessors and scholars, we note that they took the Quran and the Sunnah and understood their current circumstances in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. Inshallah, we would like to address the fundamental values of communication and the key things to avoid when engaging in these types of communications online, regardless of whether we are having communication with family members, personal friends of the same gender. And then inshallah, eventually we'll go on to talking about how does it work in terms of intergender relations. But first, I'd like to talk about the basic principles and values that we need to keep in place. And this hadith that we've just quoted now talks about the basic values that we need to keep in mind when we talk about the use of social media.
Just the basic values we need to keep in mind.
Yes, that's what we spoke about in this hadith. And we can continue if you want to, Maulana.
So, Maulana, we're just waiting for some interaction. We do have 5 minutes left, Maulana.
Okay.
So, I think we can continue. If there is any feedback, then I will let Maulana know also.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, some of the major points relating to social media, Facebook, Instagram, etc. The first among them, that it's become such a major problem, is that social media has allowed people to start living an existence that is not their own, an existence that is not their true existence or identity. To put it in simple terms, people are becoming more fake online today than they had ever been in the past before. What do I mean by this? Observe if any of these things ring a bell. People will never say things that they say online that they would say in real life. People will post pictures that they will never ever show in real life. People try to show an image of themselves that they are not really in real life. For example, posting a picture of yourself with something that is not yours or that you don't have. So, social media, the way it operates today, gives you the avenue of being a poser, of being fake, or acting like someone that you are not, or to have multiple profiles. That's something that has always been a problem, and that's something that's always been addressed by psychologists, educators, spiritual leaders of different faith-based communities. But the reason why it's such a critical issue online is that through social media is because the online realm and this platform allows you to manifest a fake identity of yourself, unlike anything ever before. I mean, because other forms of communication, first of all, it was person to person. Later on, that went into vocal, verbal communication. But on the social media, through Facebook, Instagram, etc., this is a completely distant, artificial form of communication through text messages, through words, through pictures, through links, and mostly comments and statuses and the likes. So this is such a distant, an artificial form of communication that you can completely create and put out a complete fake identity of yourself. And you can be acting like the complete opposite person of what you really are. And I know this may sound somehow trivial because a person may be acting as if he's playing in his high school soccer team. When in reality, you may say, but what's the big deal about that? And I'll get to that, inshallah, if we have time, maybe in our next discussion, we'll get to that. What's the big deal about putting a fake persona of yourself or putting a fake status of yourself? What's the big deal about it? But the fake identity of yours that you wish to show has far-reaching ramifications regarding your spirituality, regarding your psychological well-being. It affects yourself. It affects your self-esteem. It affects your relationship with your family members. And most importantly, it affects your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This as an introduction to our next discussion, inshallah, Mawlana, that how this social media allows you to reflect and manifest a fake identity of yours. And sometimes we may feel, what's the great deal about it? What's the big deal about it? But as I've said, it has far-reaching ramifications spiritually and psychologically and with regards to your self-esteem and your relationship with your family members and your and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next week we will continue from here, inshallah.
Mawlana, jazakallah for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to Mawlana next week Wednesday again.
Inshallah.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, Brother Tufail Patel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.